house of the Lord and to worship and to celebrate the life that we have and what Christ has done on our behalf. As we come to this time of our service where we want to reflect on what the Word of God says and allow its message to go into our hearts, I just pray that we surrender our minds and our hearts to His will right now and lift up our time together in the Word. Well, we just wrapped up Thanksgiving, and I hope you had a wonderful time with your family or your friends, whoever it was that you had the privilege of being a part of with that time of sharing. As we think about Thanksgiving, it's interesting to think about how the calendar works. We have that moment of Thanksgiving, and now everybody's getting ready for Christmas, right? The shopping has begun. The stores are crowded. Cyber Monday is happening tomorrow. So if you're gonna be on the internet, your provider, it might crash, just so you know, because everybody is going to be shopping. But you also may want to keep a check on your credit card, so because some of their shopping might be on your credit card. So, but as we think about Thanksgiving, it's always good to be appreciated, isn't it? You know, it's always nice to hear someone say, "Thank you. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for what you have done for me. Thank you." But do we say that enough to the Lord? I mean, think about this for just a moment. Think of all that He has done for us. All that He has provided, all that He has done in our lives. Do we say thanks enough? So I want to give you a moment this morning. Go ahead and turn this one off, and I'm going to use the handheld for just a moment. And I want to offer you an opportunity to maybe say thank you, Lord, for whatever the Lord has done for you this week, this past year. As we're moving into the holiday seasons, it's easy to be ungrateful because you don't get what you want. No, just kidding. I know most of you probably get what you want and you're happy with what you get. But in this time of year, it's good to be thankful. And we all have something to be thankful for. And so I want to give you a moment. If you would like to share a word of thanks to the Lord for what He has done, I'll bring you a microphone and you can put it out there for everyone to hear. And, you know, together we're going to thank the Lord for what He's done. Anybody got a moment? Got one? Rusty?
I want to thank the Lord for His provision as we went through transition this year. We lost a minister and we've lost 11 folks out of our congregation. Our church has survived through Christ's help, and I'm thankful because the church must survive, and we survive to do ministry for Him.
Yes, sir. I gotta give thanks because I'm not supposed to be here. When I was born, they had to fight to save my mother's life, and they sat me to one side, and the funeral home was waiting for the call. A day later, the doctor walked by me and says, "He's still alive?" And he says, "Yes." So, well, I guess we got to do something about him. When I was 14 years old, I was on my deathbed twice. When I was 37 years old, I went to the doctor. I couldn't breathe. I'm a type of a person that will fight sickness and go along and think it's in my head and I can get over it. I only had 200 white cells left. They immediately put me in the hospital, and several doctors checked me over and they said, "This guy's dead." There was a pastor that came in to visit a person that bed to me. My doctor would put me in a room with other Christians. They didn't preach to me, but they read the Bible. I used to go on the operation table the next morning, exploratory, looking for cancer. This pastor knew, had gotten on my records, and he came over to me and he says, "Did you ever ask to be saved?" And I says, "No." "Why?" I says, "I never did before and I don't deserve it now." What surprised me was, here's a pastor telling me that he didn't deserve it. That opened my eyes. He says to me, he says, "Before you go into the operation room tomorrow, I'm going to come in and see you. You won't have to say a word. I know that you had accepted the Lord." When he left, I did that on my own prayer. The next morning, I went in the operation room early, so he didn't see me. But I came out with flying colors. They found a bad spleen, and they removed that. My blood cells come back, and I never had a rare sickness, serious sickness, since. I am 87 years old. I mean, 86 years old this week, and I praise God for my life and the health of my 86 years old.
I want to thank Jesus for loving us and for always being with us, for our family and our many friends that we have. So grateful to him. And also for you, Pastor. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Art?
I saw the ad in the Restoration Herald when your preacher, Tim, died. And we mourned the loss, but it gave me strength because coming from Tampa, where it seemed that nobody knew what the Restoration Herald was, to a congregation that is attempting to restore New Testament Christianity to the church, I'm thankful for that. Remain strong in the Word, as is my plea, and thank God for a light to shine in.
Thank you, Art. That hurt.
I just want to say I'm grateful to God for the opportunity to meet the people in my world that I meet, not only here at this church, but also in the hospital that my husband and I both work at. We encounter people every day who need to know who God is. We meet them every day who already know who he is, who just need some help, some bolstering, some love. And I'm grateful every single time that I meet a person that I get a chance to see their soul and I get to show them who loves them. I'm grateful that somebody taught me who God is and who Jesus is and what the Bible is. And I pray that everybody knows what a gift we have in it.
Thank you.
I'm thankful for my husband and for the many years we had together. And I'm also thankful that God brought us here because this is where I needed to be when God took him home. I'm thankful that God is faithful and he is our sustainer. And I am so thankful for all of you and everything that you've done for me in this past year and even before that, but especially in this past year.
Anybody else? I thought I saw.
Well, I just want to thank God that he gave me strength to get baptized, and now I thank him every day, and I thank God for giving me the courage to go be with my son on Thanksgiving in Indiana, and it was cold, and I got back last night, but I enjoyed every minute of it, and thank you, Jesus.
Anybody else? Yes.
I don't think I need that.
Okay.
But I'm very thankful that my parents brought me up in the church. Been in the church ever since I was late. And I'm only 6 years old. The Lord has used me many years. I hope he'll continue to use me a few more. With his blessing, I pray.
Well, as we take that those moments to share in the Lord and share with what the Lord has done for us, you know, we have so much to be grateful for, but we also have what's to come to be grateful for. And we have so much to rejoice in the Lord for, and we need to have that joy. You know, it reminds me of the time when David was rebuked by his wife, and his response was simple. Don't tell me how to worship. Don't tell me how to worship my Lord. It's between me and God how I want to worship. And see, we have so much to be thankful for and so much to be grateful for. And as we look at the Psalms today, to think about what this is saying to us. Because I think when you really get down to it, to get through the next part of this year, you know, the holiday that's coming up, and I'm not talking about Christmas. I'm just talking about, just simply put, the hustle and bustle of Christmas. You know, it's great to enjoy a time of year to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, but we live in a culture that doesn't celebrate that fully, and it truly doesn't understand what that means. Instead, we pride ourselves over simply buy more. You know, they talk about this is the time of year everybody goes in debt, and then they work off the debt for the rest of the year. Think about that. Is that what Christmas is all about? Is that what Christmas should be about? No, it should be about remembering what the Lord has done for us and remembering the birth of our Lord and Savior into this world, coming from heaven to earth to be born of a baby, and to come and be amongst us, and to die on the cross for our sins, to restore our opportunity to our Lord, to our God and Creator. And as we look in Psalms chapter 107, verses 1 through 11, I see something that I really enjoy reading this psalm. And there's actually a few psalms that we're going to be looking at this morning and reflecting on. It starts off in verse 1, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he gathered from the lands from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord, for he for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's command and despised the plans of the Most High. You know, I look at these verses and I think about what the Lord has done in our lives. We were those people. We were those that were looking for a place to belong. We were looking for something. And most of us found a church. A church is by no means a city, but it is kind of like a city if you think about it. It's full of people. It's full of gatherings. It's full of opportunities to get to know each other. Isn't that what cities used to be about? You know, there was a day and age where you could go to a city and you could strike up a conversation and not be afraid of what the repercussions of that conversation is. Now with these little smartphones, you're afraid that you might be recorded in any of these conversations and the conversation taken out of proportion or blown out of proportion because of the fact that it's recorded and whoever recorded it controls that. And so we don't talk to each other anymore, do we? We've isolated ourselves and we're no longer a part of a city any longer. And I hope and pray that never happens in the church. That we are always open and willing to share with one another what's going on in our lives. The pains that we're dealing with, the heartaches. Because that's what it means to be the family of God. It means to bear with one another's burdens. It means to endure hardships together. It means to understand that some of the hardships that we experience in our life, it may not be for my sake, but may be for your sake and for your benefit. Now, how does that work? It works like this. I have to understand what the Lord puts me through in my life is a testimony to what He can do in your life too. And the same goes for you. The things that the Lord has put you through and has allowed you to experience in your life is a testimony of what the Lord can do in my life if I put my trust in Him. We have to understand that when we look at this Psalms, the first thing we need to understand is this. A thankful heart comes from knowing who God is. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Him there is no wrong, no evil. He is good. He is all good. And He is worthy, and He is worthy of our undivided attention, and He is worthy of our complete praise. And we should surrender our hearts to Him and to what He's doing in our lives so that we can see what He's doing in the lives of others. Psalms chapter 50 verse 1 says, "The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before Him and around Him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that He may judge His people. Gather to me my consecrated ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens proclaim His righteousness. For God Himself is judge." Selah, which means pause to think for a moment about what you just read. And continuing on, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull from your stall or a goat or of goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine, and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? sacrifice thank offerings to God, fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my laws or take my covenant of your lips, on your lips? You hate my instructions and cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you join with him and throw your lot with adulterers. You use your mouth for evil and harness your tongue to deceit. You speak continually against your brother and slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and accuse you to your face. Consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with none to rescue. He who sacrifices thank offerings, honor me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. What a beautiful passage to think about and reflect on. God is in control. And we need to understand that no matter what the situation may be in our world, we need to give thanks to the Lord for what he's doing in our world. He is in control of our world. These things don't surprise him. These matters that we are concerned about, you turn on the news, it's a flu season. Oh my goodness. We worry, we stress. The Lord knows your time. The Lord knows when it's your time to part. He was, I met, some of you may not know this, but I was a minister at of a church in Polk County at First Christian Church, Babson Park. And it was a surprise when I heard of Tim's passing. It was a complete shock because I saw him the Thursday before. And I just had conversation with him at the Polk County preachers meeting. And we were just talking, and we just had a great time of fellowshipping together. And then when I showed up at the Florida Bible Conference to hear that he was no longer with us, it was a shock to me. But you know who it wasn't a shock to? It was not a surprise to the Lord. He knew when he was bringing Tim home to be with him. He knew what he was doing. The Lord works out in all situations for the good of those who love him. And we need to trust in what he's doing in our world today. We need to put our trust in him. Stop worrying about what the world wants us to trust in. Trust in God. He will not lead you astray. Not only that, we have a promise of what's to come. And it's not just a promise, it is a guarantee. Because the one who promised it keeps his promises. And he will keep the promise that we have in him today. So we need to understand a thankful heart is a person who comes from knowing who God is. We need to truly know who God is and truly know that God is good. You cannot add any evil intent in God's mind. And so often I hear that conversation, well, God's so good, why? Why is there death? Why is there destruction? Why is there so much pain? Why is there much suffering? Why? God didn't bring that into the world. We did. When we rebelled against God and broke the law that he had given us, guess what happened? We brought sin into this world. And when we brought sin into this world, we brought death. We brought destruction. We brought hostility. We did it. When you see the the earthquakes in another region, or the hurricanes that wash ashore, the pain of those who've lost loved ones in the fires of California. God didn't do that. God didn't do that. I believe God was doing everything in his power to stop that. But we brought sin into this world. Because he has done everything in his power to stop that. He has sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross so that we could have eternal life. Not in a fallen world that we have redecorated and we have made into, but in a world to come where it's a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth, a new promise of what's to come. May we have that hope in that. Psalms 33 is a wonderful passage to read and to reflect on. I really just want to read a few verses out of this. And it says, verse 13, "From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you." What a beautiful passage to think about. The Lord delivers, and he has delivered us from our bondage of captivity. We were lost in sin. We had no home. No hope of what's to come. Now we have everything to hope for. And we can put our trust in him. David writes the next psalm, Psalm 34. He writes it in a time that's very interesting. He's been anointed king of Israel, but he is fleeing from Saul, the current king of Israel. You know, he could say, "Well, you know, I've been anointed king. I am the rightful king." But instead, he sees Saul as the king of Israel. He respects Saul as the Lord's anointed one, because Saul was anointed first king of Israel. And so what does David do? David goes and hides out among the Philistines. He acts like a madman. He drools all over himself, all over his beard. He looks crazy. And he writes these words in that time when he's acting like a crazy man among foreigners. Not just among foreigners, among the enemy. You know, at that time, the Philistines and the Israelites, they were at war, going back and forth, back and forth. And David was the one who killed their biggest warrior, wasn't he? Goliath. And here he shows up at the king's doorstep acting like a crazy person. David writes these words to the Lord. "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. The poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good things. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who take refuge in him. What a beautiful passage to think about, to reflect on, to memorize, to rejoice in. We need to know that God is good, and God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And his love endures forever. We need to also understand this. He loves us because of who he is, not because of who we are. When Moses was talking to the people of Israel at one phase, he said, "The Lord didn't choose you because you're something special. He chose you because he chose you, because of who he is. Not because of who you are. It wasn't because you're a mighty army. It wasn't because you were one. You had good cooking. It wasn't any special reason. He chose you because of who he is." And as Christians, we have this hope. I know. So often I hear, "Oh, you can't earn your salvation." No, you can't earn your salvation. And you can't just simply decide, "Hey, I deserve more, Lord." It doesn't work that way. He's already given you everything. He's already redeemed you. He's already paid a price for your eternity. He's already saved you. It's a matter of whether or not you want to accept him as your Lord and Savior that matters now. Because once you accept him as your Lord and Savior and you are united with him in baptism, you are now his. As we sang that song last week, I belong to Jesus and Jesus belongs to me. Jesus will be with you, and he will always be there for you, and you can trust that. But it's not because of who you are. It's because of who he is. He is good. His love endures forever, and we have so much to be thankful for that we should be shouting it from the mountaintops And we should be rejoicing in the world we live in, that we have a hope that goes beyond our current situations in our world today, our current concerns, our current threats. We have a God who has eternity on his mind, and he wants us to have eternity on our hearts and set eternity as our focus for all our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we